Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
A number of years ago, I was with a friend. My friend's a paramedic. I used to go out on shift with him because I just used to love watching him at work. It was brilliant watching him at work. We'd been on quite a long shift. I would go as an observer. And it was about midnight. We were heading home. Just as we were heading home, we received a call. I'm saying we. He received a call, right? But I was in the car. He received a call that there'd been a multiple vehicle accident on the Greensboro bypass, and so we were the nearest vehicle there, and also he was one of those paramedics that got to choose the incidents that he responded to because he was a teaching paramedic as well. So we flew to the scene of this accident on the Greensboro bypass, and from memory there are four or five vehicles that had been involved in this collision. It was a high-speed collision. As we approached this scene, it was a scene of chaos. Cars were on different parts of the road where they shouldn't have been. There's people wandering around in shock and dazed. There's people screaming. There's people crying. Passers-by are stopping to comfort people and to lend assistance. There's oil on the road, fuel on the road. There's glass everywhere. There's bits of smashed vehicle all over the place. All of a sudden, there's the hum and the ring of more sirens as more emergency vehicles centered on that particular location. So, you know, we've got the fire brigade coming. We've got more ambulances coming. The police are on their way. There's state emergency services coming because there are people trapped in their vehicles. And so this situation of chaos became even more chaotic. And then someone was designated as being the person to control this scene, the most senior person representing the emergency services. They started coordinating the rescue effort there. They started coordinating this accident scene. And all of a sudden, this scene that had been incredibly chaotic and had become more chaotic, all of a sudden, order started to be restored. And so the ambulances were ferrying the injured to the hospital. The emergency services, the state emergency services, were cleaning up the roadway. The police were directing traffic around the scene, blocking off the roads that they needed to make this scene a safe scene. I passed by there the next day, and the next day as I drove down the Greensboro bypass, there was actually no evidence of the accident that had taken place there the night before. The situation of chaos had been restored to order. We'll pick up that story again. If you have your Bible, I'd like to read to you from Ezekiel chapter 37. And it's the vision of the dry bones. Some of you will know this story. Ezekiel the prophet has a vision. This vision is representative of what God's people are going through at this time and how they are feeling as a nation. Very likely, this vision here was reminiscent of the journey that they had taken into captivity, a very long journey through some hazardous desert land where people had died along the way, where they would have seen animal bones along the way, and perhaps even human bones. And it was reminiscent to Ezekiel of the scene that he had actually experienced himself, but more truly representative of how he was feeling and how the whole nation was feeling. Listen to what God says to Ezekiel. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Some translations say they were very dry. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, Listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath in you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he had told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up to their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just start with the finish because we probably won't get there at the end. There's a promise there. Yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah. There's a promise of restoration right at the end there. And as I was preparing, I just felt the Lord prompt me to say to some of you, you have had something taken from you that the Lord is going to give back to you. And I particularly felt that that was relevant to some people who are in the business world. You have something that is yours that is being denied you at this moment in time. You have something that is owed you that has been taken from you, and the Lord wants to encourage you. That which is rightfully yours that's been taken from you, it will be restored to you. You will walk in what it is you should be walking in. More generally, if that's relevant to you today, if you need a promise from God, a promise of restoration, a promise of return, I want you to grab a hold of that. Our God is a God of restoration. He is a God of restoration. That which has been stolen from us, He restores. And some of you have visions and dreams and hopes, family members, whatever it is, and you feel as though they have been stolen from you. Be encouraged today. Our God is a God of restoration. He's a God of restoration. Praise His name. Just a few simple points out of this incredible, incredible vision. The first point that I want to make is this. Does anyone know what Ezekiel means? The name Ezekiel is incredibly apt to the circumstances that the nation is in. The name Ezekiel means God will strengthen. God will strengthen. And my first point is that our God is strong. Our God is strong. I can't overstate how strong our God is. Have you ever felt weak? Do you feel weak at this moment in time? Maybe some of you do. Maybe you feel weak at this moment in time, and maybe this is the word that you need this morning. Your God is a strong God, and He will strengthen you. I felt pretty weak the other day. It was Friday, approximately 1:30 p.m., and I was standing waiting for a tram at the intersection of Flinders Street and Swanson Street. And a maroon Commodore, obviously you know where I'm going, a maroon Commodore sped into the intersection. Initially I thought, my goodness, this poor guy, he's got lost. He doesn't know where he's going. He's doing burnouts. He's repositioning himself in the intersection. I thought, poor guy. Then all of a sudden, you've seen the footage, right? It's doing donuts in the middle of the intersection, burnouts, head out the window. yelling, abuse at people, totally out of his head. And I was standing there watching with hundreds of other people at one of our city's busiest intersections thinking, isn't anyone going to do anything about this? This is ridiculous. Who is this idiot holding up the traffic there? Is no one going to do anything? And there's that, just that moment, you feel weak, right? You feel helpless. Now, little did I know what was going to transpire just a minute or two later as he sped down Swanson Street and then tragically down Bourke Street. I felt weak. I bet the police looking on there felt pretty weak. I bet other individuals looking on at that situation felt pretty weak. But I take courage from the fact that our God is strong. I take courage from the fact that our God will strengthen. And in your moment of weakness, whatever your circumstance is, you take courage in the fact that your God is a strong God. Your God is a strong God. Second thing that I want to say is when you have impossible situations, give them to God. Give them to God. Give all of your impossible situations to God. God speaks to Ezekiel and he says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you see all of these bones? Can these bones live? Can these bones come to life again? That's a good question, isn't it? And I imagine the dilemma that Ezekiel found himself in. When I see bones, right, when Steve Windham sees bones, he sees death, right? Yeah? That's what I see. If you ever walk through a paddock and you've seen, I don't know, the bones of a skeleton of a sheep or a rabbit or a bird that's died, you see the bones in your front yard or your backyard, right? We've all been there. Perhaps you've been to the museum. And you've seen a skeleton in the museum or whatever. And you're walking past the dead bird in your front yard. You see the bones. You go, oh, yeah, there's a dead bird. You don't stop and think, I wonder if this bird could come alive again. I wonder. You're in the museum. You see the skeleton in the museum. That's interesting. I wonder if that dinosaur could come back to life again. You know what? I might prophesy over this dinosaur and see if this dinosaur can come to life again. No. When I see something that is dead, I am thinking dead, right? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking dead. Imagine lunchtime today. You got the roast chicken happening. You eat your roast chicken. There's the carcass of the roast chicken sitting on the table. I just wonder. I'm going to speak to this roast chicken and let's see if the thing can come alive again. Ladies, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be totally amazing? You eat the chicken, then the stinking thing comes back to life again. You got a meal for the next day. Be absolutely brilliant, wouldn't it? No. Dead is dead, right? Dead is dead. And in the vision here, it says the bones were very dry, just completely dry in our New Living Testament translation, right? They're completely dry. But here's the thing with our God. Something might be dead, but our God can bring it to life again. Hey, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? But we find ourselves in Ezekiel's situation and we look at the situation and we go, oh, I know our God's strong. I've read his word. I know our God can do anything, but you know the dilemma? You've been there. I've been there. I've been there myself with our own circumstances. I've been there on behalf of other people. Yesterday morning, I'm not a pastor anymore, but I was visiting a friend of ours. She's dying of cancer. She's under palliative care at the moment. She's been sent home. She's sitting in the chair there struggling to draw breath. And she asked me to pray for her, right? And she's saying, Steve, I'm not going to hear anything negative about my condition. And she's struggling to get her breath. I'm believing that God is going to heal me. Can you pray for me? Wow. right? Now, that's a pretty extreme situation, but we get those situations all of the time. Can this work out, God? Can this relationship be restored? Will my child be able to kick this addictive issue going on? Will this stinking attitude that I have, can I kick this stinking attitude? And we know God is a God of the impossible, but we look at reality and we say, God, I don't know. I don't know. In those I don't know moments, give those situations to God, because our God does know. Now, was Ezekiel being a smart aleck to God and saying, oh, God, you know the answer to that question? I don't know. Was he being a smart aleck? I don't know. Whether he was or whether he wasn't, ultimately he did the right thing, because when we don't know what to do, our God does. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name. When you have those impossible situations, don't just give them to God, but also speak over those situations. Prophesy to them. Get God's perspective and speak out the perspective that God has on the circumstances that you are in. I know a number of you have been to New York. At least some of you have. We had a holiday in New York about 5 years ago. And, of course, we wanted to see the Empire State Building. We're a number of blocks away, but from where we were, we could see the Empire State Building, and we thought, fantastic, let's go to the Empire State Building, let's fix our gaze on where it is, we'll start walking, and no worries, we'll be able to find it. You go a matter of half a block, you're surrounded by all of these tall buildings, it's like, who's stolen the Empire State Building, right? At the time we were there, it was the tallest building in the city again, but you couldn't stink and see it, right? Because you're in the midst of all of these other tall buildings, it was like someone had stolen the thing. It's perspective, isn't it? The same happened to us when we were in Sydney once a number of years ago. We thought that we would navigate our way around Sydney by the telecommunications tower in the centre of the city. You step into the city and all of a sudden the telecommunications tower that is by far the tallest structure in the city, it just disappears, right? It just disappears. It's perspective. Imagine if you get in a helicopter and you get a bird's eye view of New York City. Imagine you can see all around you in that helicopter. That Empire State Building's going nowhere, right? Because you're above it. You're above it. And that's the perspective that our God has. He sees completely and he sees clearly. And you're in something at the moment and you've lost perspective. Not because you're a bad person, not because you've done the wrong thing. It's just the reality of being in the hustle and bustle of what is going on around you, right? We walk the streets of life and it's difficult for us sometimes to navigate our way. Get God's perspective. Get God's perspective. When God breathes, life comes. When Steve talks, sometimes life comes, sometimes destruction comes, sometimes nonsense comes. All kinds of stuff comes out of Steve's mouth. Now, I'm thinking I'm probably pretty similar to most of you. Yeah? Right? Sometimes some good stuff comes out of our mouths. Sometimes some bad stuff comes out of our mouths. Sometimes some stuff just comes out of our mouths, right? And we're filling the atmosphere with words and with hot air. When God speaks, life comes. When God speaks, life comes. When God speaks, life comes. And God is speaking this morning. He's taking his word and he's applying his word to your heart, and he is speaking and life is coming to you where there is presently death. Let's go back to my first story. Situation of complete disorder and complete chaos and complete horror became a situation of order and normality. And our God is an expert at bringing order out of chaos. And for some of you at this moment in time, you are living in chaos. It feels like that car crash. There's mess everywhere. You can't make sense of what is going on. And I'm here to say to you that our God specializes in bringing order out of chaos. Let's think of when God created. What does it say about the earth? It says that the earth was formless and it was void. It was chaotic in a sense. There was no order to it. But our God spoke, "Let there be life," and what happened? That which was chaotic, God's creative power was spoken, and life and order and creativity and beauty arose out of that disorder and chaos. That's our God. That's our God. That's our God. Let's think of the creation account again. God forms the man out of the dust of the earth. But he's just like a clay vessel, right? He's formed, but he's a clay vessel. Then what does God do? What does God do? He breathes. He breathes into him, and what does it say? And life comes. Life comes. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, we are told in Ephesians. Before we knew Christ, we were dead spiritually speaking. There's no life there. The appearance of life was there. The possibility of life was there, but there was no life there. But then God, by his Spirit, breathes and we become new creations, right? The old has passed away. All things have become new. We are born again. Our God is a God who breathes, and life comes when our God breathes. And God is breathing here this morning, and life is coming. Life is coming. You might not appreciate it at the moment, but I would encourage you to apprehend it. God is speaking, and life is coming. God is speaking, and life is coming. Order is coming to chaos. Impossible situations are turning around. That which is looking pretty dark, light is coming to it. That which is broken is being put back together again. Where there is death, life is coming, because our God is speaking. Our God is speaking. Our God is strong. He's stronger than any of us can know. And I just know for some of you, that's the big one for you this morning. You feel incredibly weak and helpless. And I'll say it to you again. Our God will strengthen. Our God is strong. Grab that. If you have impossible situations this morning, give them to God. Give them back to God. When you get to that place of, I don't know, don't beat yourself up about that. Don't beat yourself up about it, because we don't know, right? We don't know. We don't know completely. We don't see completely, but our God does. Give those impossible situations to God. When you can get God's perspective on it, when you can look in his word, when you can get some sound counsel and advice, confess what God is saying about your situation. Agree with God and speak it out. Then God will breathe and life will come. Let me pray for you. Then I'm going to hand it to Pastor Joseph. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that all across this place life is coming. Restoration is coming. Strength is coming to people. Hope is coming to people. And you're doing things, Lord, that we can't even see. And people are shifting attitudes and people are deciding to agree with you. People are deciding to make your word their word. People are speaking things. People are agreeing with you and saying, yes, Lord, that's what you think, that's what I'm going to think too. Others are grabbing hold of the fact that you are a strong God and they're resting. They're resting. It's like, Lord, they're leaning into you now. They're taking your hand and they're receiving your strength. Others, Lord God, with impossible situations where all they can see is question marks and challenges and difficulties, Lord, they're giving those situations to you and you're beginning to make sense of them. Even if they can't discern that at the moment, you're beginning to make sense of them. And God, you are bringing order to chaos. You are bringing order to chaos.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people